RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to the Games Galore Podcast with your host, Brian Edwards.
And welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Games Galore 49. I'm your host, Brian Edwards, joined by the new daddy, Harbo. What's going on over there?
Not much, man. Just fight and sleep.
Little Marie is how many days old? What, like
she
four?
She came in Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon. What's the middle name?
Eva.
I like it. Yep. Marie Eva Rosana.
You got it, buddy.
There it is. Way to go, Jody. Shout out. Father-in-law's not getting one of those right now. Kentucky.
Don't you dare try to beat us 32 years in a row.
Kentucky with its first win over the once mighties last week. I forgot to show you that field goal, and I'm not making excuses. Florida loses that game regardless, but remind me during the break to show you that field goal that was so good.
Yeah, I got to see it.
Yeah. Big Blue bounce back, 49-3 over the Broncos. You know, I don't know that I had told... Had I told you I had decided on your alma mater, Eastern Michigan?
We talked about it.
Okay, I forget if I had actually told you I was definitely going to play it, because I was thinking about it. I did play it. You know, they won outright.
Yeah.
Beat Purdue as a 7... Well, I think the line went down. I got it as a 17-point dog either some point Thursday or Friday. And they're a dog again. Let me go to their page. I don't know if they're... Because they're now 12... Eastern Michigan, that is. They are now 12-1 against the spread in its last 13 games as a road underdog. I saw they are a short dog, and they are on the road again as a road underdog. 12-1 against the spread in its last 13. Now, I know Buffalo's got a good quarterback, and they've got a really good receiver. The QB is Tyree Jackson, and Anthony Johnson is the receiver, and they are big time. Okay, Buffalo won. Man, Temple's struggling. Buffalo won 36-29 at Temple last week. I got to look up that score on Delaware. I thought I had all my week one finals into my Phil Steele mag, but I do not have the Buffalo Delaware State. We've got so much to get to, NFL, college. So the Kitty Cats won at the Swamp for the first time since 79. They ended a 31-game losing streak, the longest active FBS streak in a rivalry. So in 86, were you born yet, Harbo?
No.
Okay, so the first time in Harbo's life, Kentucky won. You know how we could really do the really fun thing? I want to know how old Jim was. This is Harbo's father-in-law.
Oh, good question.
So what is he, early 60s or is
he not?
Yeah,
let me see.
Yet?
Let me guess here.
Okay.
Let me figure this. Let me do some math.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to guess he's around 60.
Yeah.
And minus 31 would put him in his ripe 20s.
I think he was late 20s, early 30s, probably about my age right now.
Yeah, yeah. and as this event occurred, Jim got an invite to the Swamp, so he was there live in person, and I was invited to go on that same trip. And thank the heavens!
Oh my gosh! Thank God you didn't go.
Thank the heavens, and Spurrier, that I did not go. Wow. Would that have been brutal? Let me get off on a little rant on Felipe Franks and the Gators, and then we'll put that baby to bed for the day. And I'm not making excuses for the Gators. Again, Kentucky was a better team. They won fair and square. But I was getting text messages from fellow Gator fans, and I had to explain a couple of things. Look, Florida's not playing with its two best defensive players. CeCe Jefferson, five-star recruit, senior, you know, it was kind of surprising that he actually came back. I think he wanted to show his versatility in a 3-4 defense like Grantham has, you know, to show NFL scouts that not only could he play defensive end, that maybe he could, you know, drop back in coverage and, you know, just show some versatility. So he comes back, and it's we don't know what he did. I mean, I hope it was just something like pissing positive for weed. But that's usually a one-game suspension, I think. But anyway, it's a two-game suspension. Mullins said on Monday expected CC to be back this weekend. The Gators play host to Colorado State, who we'll get to them. Had a huge comeback win over Arkansas, rallied from 27-9 deficit late third, and sent the Hogs back to the Ozarks with a 34-27 but I regress. So also David Reese, who when Jared Davis got injured his senior year, David Reese was a true freshman, and he just came in and played lights freaking out the last four regular season games and then the SEC championship and the bowl game. And then obviously had a big season last year, led the Gators in tackles. He's on everybody's preseason All-SEC, and he was in Phil Steele's mag, a preseason fourth team All-American. He hadn't touched the field yet either for the Mighties, the once Mighties. He has a high ankle sprain in late August, and he's still listed as questionable this week. And then Florida has Marco Wilson. I would say he and C.J. Henderson are probably tied for the third best defensive player on the team. And the first series against UK last week, he goes down with a torn ACL, and he's done for the year. So that's not good. And, you know, Jabari Zuniga and Ja'Kai Polite and Chauncey Gardner hyphen Johnson, he added that this year, and Voshon Joseph. Florida's still got some pretty good defensive players, but they got gashed by Kentucky's running game, and they were missing Reese and Jefferson and Wilson, who started every single game at corner as a true freshman last year, and now he's done for the year. So now we've got some updated games of the year posted by sportsbook.ag, and we can kind of, you know, have a convo about what those lines were and what they are now. And the first, I just scrolled through them real quick, and we'll scroll through a lot of them. Not going to do all of them right now, but I'll touch on a couple. Mississippi State's been very impressive. Auburn fans will tell you, circa 2014, it is not easy to go to Manhattan, Kansas and win a football game, but Mississippi State made it look easy. Easy peasy. 31-10, never a doubt. KIV could not have been happy. She couldn't have been happy. She could have been a lot happier. God, and they had to have a late field goal to beat an FCS team the week before. KIV is not happy. KIV, sure you're tuned in. Kidding. But if you are listening, you know, you can say the same thing that I say. And I think that Michigan and Texas might be able to say it too. We're just basketball programs now. Where I was going with that is K-State is going to be very good in basketball this year. So are the Gators. So is Michigan. And so is Texas. Now, I don't know that we're going to be any good in football. Any of those four teams. Any of those four. Hopefully David Reese and C.C. Jefferson getting back will throw a little life into the Gators' defense. But, okay, Felipe Franks. So, every third grader, I haven't played video games in 20 years until the last couple months when I go home, my nephew and I play Madden.
Okay.
So, my nephew, I have taught him how to use your timeouts in the two-minute drill. He knows.
Right.
He's in second grade. Okay.
Okay.
So this is not any bullshit, Harbo. Like, you really, 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 if you play video games as a second or third grader. Or watch football and you like football, okay, when you're down by 8, you know you go for 2, okay? When you're down by 11, you know you go for 2 because you want to cut it to 3. When you get the ball back, you get a field goal.
Right.
Okay, these are things that third graders know, all right? Felipe Franks. And, oh, God, it just made my blood boil so bad. I mean, don't you remember most of the summer, Harbo? I was just saying, I just don't think the kid has it. It's not, I said he has great size, great arm, athleticism. Right. I just don't think the kid gets it.
Right.
I think I've made that clear. Now, he was showing off that great arm against Charleston Southern. He threw a couple of just really, really good passes. Real good passes. And five touchdowns, no picks. Can't argue with that. So I was thinking, you know, maybe Mullen has coached him up a little bit. So, you know, I think I made it clear, though, I wasn't drinking Felipe Franks' Kool-Aid quite yet.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm watching SEC Inside last night. They take a game, and then they basically just go behind the scenes. They've got footage in the locker room, halftime, pregame, postgame, you know, the whole deal.
Whole documentary.
Yeah, and I really was, this was just last night.
Right.
I was further frustrated by the fact that as the Gators are going out for the second half, you know, the guy that's talking to the team and, like, you know, screaming and yelling, or not, you know what I mean? You're supposed to, you know, be loud and boisterous,
right,
if you're giving the pep talk or whatever.
Yeah, you got to.
And it's Franks is the one that's giving it. Okay, and here I'll get to where I'm going in a second. Now, sorry about that. Umpires. That's my live odds feed talking to us from my computer. So you're down 11.
Right.
Less than 4 minutes left.
Right.
You don't have to say right every time. You can if you want.
Yes. Yes. Continue.
So down 11, less than 4 minutes left. Florida had one timeout. Okay. As things developed, I started drinking rather heavily. So I don't remember when Mullen wasted the two timeouts in the second half. But I don't know when, why, or where he wasted those two timeouts in the second half. But we only had one timeout. Less than 4 minutes left. Down 11. So to me, if I'm the quarterback and I'm in the huddle, right to start the drive, I mentioned, all right, when we go score here, we're going for two. So, you know, be mindful of that. Like, in other words, you know, you don't score a touchdown and, like, go run into the end zone and celebrate. Not that there would be any... Oh, I thought I turned the volume down. All right, that is the last time my live odds feed is talking. Not that there would be any fucking reason on this fucking planet to be celebrating cutting the deficit to five to a team you have not lost to since before the freaking internet and cell phones. Okay? Not that there would be any reason to celebrate that touchdown to fucking begin with. Okay? But Florida gets a touchdown. Cut it to five. So immediately at that moment, Franks should be saying, two, huddle up, huddle up. Like, don't... Every single offensive lineman, even those big, heavy boys, ran to the end zone to like celebrate. What the fuck are you celebrating? Get in the huddle, and why are you old linemen wasting your energy freaking going down there? You fat asses need to save every freaking molecule of energy you've got, okay? So, oh my gosh. So I'm just saying two, and I see the O lineman running toward the end zone, and Frank's running, and I'm just going, what are you doing? So then the cameras go away. Like, the cameras, like, go up into the stands to show Gator fans.
Right.
And they're, like, clapping, and I'm just going, sit down. Nothing to clap about. What the fuck you doing, fans? You morons.
Are you in your dojo at this point? Like,
no, I, It was Ryan's wife was out of town. Ryan Fay is one of my good buddies who is married with three kids.
So I'm just picturing it. Continue.
Yeah. Well, so right. Yeah. No, I'm not at home.
Okay.
Like, yeah. What I that used to scare the hell out of Arlene, my late grade dog, because I would start just screaming at the TV, and she didn't have a clue.
She doesn't understand that.
She would run upstairs, and I'd go up there, like, after we scored a touchdown, and I'd calm down, I'd go up there, and she'd be scared shitless. I'm like, girlfriend, you know I'm just hollering at the Gators? Come on, relax.
Okay, so we're up at the Gator fans. You're yelling at them.
Okay, and so the camera comes back onto Franks, okay, and... it was so galling and disturbing on so many different levels. Okay. Just the number one Uno thing is the freaking guy did not know, to have any sense of clock score awareness. And it just, he had zero idea where we're going for two right there, which tells me Period. Plain and simple. There is not such a thing for an SEC quarterback to just have a little brain lapse. No. No. That doesn't happen. That's not acceptable. Okay? Not a little brain lapse. You're not saying we're going for two. Your arm should immediately go up in the air. Two, tell your teammates, huddle up. This signal.
Right.
Huddle.
Right.
Giving Harbaugh the huddle signal. You know, and we're going for two. And when the camera comes back on Franks, not only is he not doing that, he clearly is sucking wind because he went down to, like, congratulate Freddie Swain, and they're, like, tapping each other's on the back, like, way to go. We just
gassed out.
We just cut it to fucking five against Kentucky. I mean, in 79, the last time they won in Gainesville, not only did we not have cell phones or the internet, what else did we not have in 79? Hell, I was 5 years old, and I'm old.
There were a lot of things we didn't have.
There were a lot of fucking things we didn't have. I mean, did
podcast.
We didn't have ESPN. We sure shit didn't have podcasts. There were no Sports Center. So not only has he not gone for, you know, not done everything like he's supposed to, but the camera goes on him and he is like sucking wind. He's tired. And the play clock in the bottom right corner or top right, I'm not sure. It said 17 seconds left on the play clock. And he's running toward the sidelines as if we're about to kick an extra point. Now, obviously, I could not see Mullen. You know, I'm not at the game, and the cameras weren't on Mullen or the sidelines. I would hope they were going batshit crazy. Like, what are you clowns doing? Get out of the end zone. Get in the freaking huddle. We're going for two. Okay? So, basically, Franks realizes, oh, we're going for two. And, like, he gets the signal for the play. They didn't break the huddle till 4 seconds left in the play clock. Now, we've only got one timeout left. I forget how much time is left. Like three, it was less than 4 minutes. I mean, but we had plenty of time to get a stop and get the ball back, which we did. But he fumbled and scoop and score and misleading final. But, like, the two-point convert, like, I would not have wanted Mullen to burn his last time out. I would have rather tried the two-point conversion from the 8-yard line. So they hurriedly rush out. They break the huddle with 4 seconds left on the play clock. They get the line of scrimmage. And I have no idea. Maybe it was they were trying to do a makeup call because we had made that field goal earlier by, like, 2 yards. But they did not call a delay a game. I mean, we were, like, 2 seconds late getting the playoff. They didn't throw the flag, and he hurriedly rushed a pass because of all the aforementioned factoids, and the two-point conversion failed. Now, as it turned out, I don't think it would have been a difference in the game. But it's just a matter of your quarterback knowing what is up. And if your SEC-level quarterback does not, if those things don't register to him, then he's not what you're looking for. And I want to see some Kyle Trask, and I want to see him soon. The Gators host Colorado State, -20.5. Slight lean to the Rams. I haven't played the Rams. And that's it. We're going to put that to bed. I'm going to try not to talk about the Gators today. I'm going to try. But I got to talk about my freaking Falcons. Jeez Louise. This is just depressing. Did you see how we lost? Falcons?
I didn't watch the Falcons game.
Oh, dear God.
I was tied up with the whole berth.
Sure. Yeah, we had 3 trips into the red zone. We had a first and goal at the 1 on one of them. 0 points. None. Lost 18-12. Moved the ball between the 20s like it was our job all night. And I read that it was the same end zone, basically the same play. See, the Falcons, we were playing at Philadelphia.
Right.
Our season ended at Philadelphia last year because we settled for too many field goals in the red zone. And at the end of the game, on 4th and goal, we threw into the end zone and to Julio, and he couldn't come up with it. Okay. So, same thing. I mean, we had first and... do we have first and goal, or is it like first and 10 at the 12? I'm not sure. Forgive me if I'm getting a detail or two on this a little wrong, but on the fourth and goal or the fourth down from like the 11 or the 12. He throws it up for Julio, but he threw it out of bounds. I mean, Julio didn't even have a chance this time. So then the worst news comes the following day. Keanu Neal out for the season, ACL. I mean, lots of Ronnie Lott in Keanu Neal. Pro Bowler last year in his second season. Deion Jones, Pro Bowler last year. Hell, he might have been Pro Bowler as a rookie. He's played like a Pro Bowler from day one. LSU product, stud Falcon. He's out at least 8 weeks, probably more, with a foot injury. I believe he had surgery earlier this week. So the Falcons, two leading tacklers from last year, two Pro Bowlers, two third-year guys that have been starters from day one as a rookie, they gone for a while. You have just an unconscionable loss that you start your next season the exact same way you ended the last one, and Sarkisian still has a job. How he has a job, don't fucking ask me, man. And if we have the same red zone woes against Carolina this weekend, I mean, I'm looking for my man Arthur. We got as good an owner as there is in the business. I mean, that boss move he made to get Julio into camp day one, I want him to make a boss move. And Dan Quinn, if you're not good with it, hey, we can 86 your ass too. But I cannot put up with much more Sarkisian. I can't put up with any more Sarkisian in the red zone failures. It is just, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, between the 20s, we're rocking and rolling, you know, like we were when we were up 28-3 on the Pats in the Super Bowl. I mean, and then we get the red zone, and then just all of a sudden, no bueno. And can we give the ball to Tevin Coleman in a short yardage instead of that null Devontae Freeman? And on that note, I hate we gave that money to Devontae Freeman, because now we're not going to have any money for Tevin Coleman, and I think Tevin Coleman's better, period. So, Falcons are somehow, and I know the Panthers have a lot of injuries too, but the Falcons are somehow favored, not only favored, but they're favored by 5.5 or 6 right now. And at home against Carolina, which should have beat Dallas way worse. And shout out Ryan Ratting. Oh, and Dougie Cowgirls. Oh, so for go ahead. Tell us who Dougie Cowgirls is.
Dougie Cowgirls is a bartender behind us.
Yes.
He's about 800 feet away.
Yeah.
And he's a big fan.
Yeah. Harbo's studio is right next to Old Florida Fish House, Seagrove Beach, Florida. And so Dougie Cowgirls, like, I've known Dougie since I moved here like 9 years ago. And if he goes out, he's got a, I call it a cowgirl hat. I got to give Doug a little respect. I like Doug.
He's got a cowboy
hat. He's always got a cowboy hat on, always. And, hey, like, I even asked him, you know, when we go on these little breaks in the pod, I usually go grab a beer from him for the second segment. And I am drinking ice water right now. But next segment, I will be drinking a Budweiser. My first since Saturday, but my goodness, I haven't needed one since Saturday.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I had too many.
I'm sure.
Oh my gosh. It was so painful. The beers made it better.
Right, of course.
Obviously.
Of course.
Yes. But so Dougie Cowgirls, I'll probably be seeing him in about 10 minutes. And he's not gonna be a happy camper. Oh, I know what I was gonna say. So a couple weeks ago, I go, so Dougie, I forget who your college team is, or you know, because he's from Texas, obviously. I go, right. You an Aggie, Longhorn, Red Raider? He goes, man, you know I only got one team. So hold on a second, bro. Your fandom in life is all the Dallas Jerry Joneses.
And, that's it.
He said, that's right. That's right. I mean, he said it with pride, beaming. Smart. You know what? We might try to get Dougie Cowgirls.
We should get him in here.
Yeah, for just like 2 minutes during the second segment. I want him to break down what went wrong, and also want to know how many games he thinks they're going to lose, because they looked awful. Carolina beats them 16-8, but Carolina could have beaten them way worse. And Luke Kuechly got injured, and he's questionable. So yeah, I was saying the Panthers got some injuries, and Luke Kuechly is, you know, he's the best linebacker in football. at least it's not a concussion, man. I really, really get worried for this guy on his concussions. I don't think he's had one for like 2 years, I don't think. But, man, he's had a bunch in his career already. And no bueno, not good. But so one of the best tight ends of football, Greg Olsen for the Panthers. He's going to be out for a while. I'm not sure exactly long, at least a month or so. So he's out this week, and their offensive tackle, Darrell Williams, almost positive he's out for the year. So Carolina's got their concerns injury-wise as well. At least the Falcons' offense is healthy, other than Sark calling the plays. And I look, man, I don't want to hate on Sark, but my gosh. Oh, brutal. It's brutal. Okay, a couple of little factoids as they pertain to Falcons-Panthers. Last time Carolina came to Hot Atlanta, I was there. I made my Mercedes-Benz Dome debut, and I pounded the Falcons, and they covered easily. And that was another game where the Reds, we won 22-10, four field goals. Or wait, no, that's five field goals and a touchdown, right? Yeah, five field goals. Short field goals, too. Okay, the Falcons are 11-19 against the spread in their past 30 as home favorites. On the flip side, Carolina is 20-8 against the spread in its last 28 games as a road underdog dating back to 2012. I'm going against my boys this week. I like the Panthers. Hope the Falcons win by a field goal. Kansas City last week had the over. Easy winner. Easy peasy. Chicken. Parm. Like the Chiefs this week at Pittsburgh. It certainly helps our cause that the Steelers had to play five quarters last week, give up a 21-7 mid-fourth quarter lead, no Le'Veon Bell this week, or it doesn't appear so, unless some super-duper fast developments come really quick in the next 24 hours. I tell you what, I've always said that, excuse me, I need a drink of water here.
Getting so worked up, folks.
No Falcons or Gators in the next segment. But I've always said there's three guys that just when you see them in the open field in their football careers, you just, I mean, if you're at the stadium, you got to stand up. Hell, if you got a bet on that team or you're a fan of that team, if you're on your couch, you stand up. And just electrifying players in the open field. Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, and Michael Vick. Well, I got to add a fourth. It's time for a fourth, and his name is Tyreek Hill. He had some disciplinary issues. I want to say maybe even an arrest or two. Maybe, and I'm not positive on that. Maybe one of them was a domestic violence. I'd have to look that up. I shouldn't say that without knowing it for sure. I'm pretty sure it was, though. And that's why he didn't get drafted until so late by the Chiefs. So I'm going to my Chiefs page to see what round they got. I mean, I think they got him in like the fifth round. This guy might be the best player in the league. Let's see, Tyreek Hill. They got this guy in the fifth round. Wow. 11 touches last week. 268 all-purpose yards, three touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes, I've been talking about this guy for years. He was such a stallion at Texas Tech. I mean, he took them to a bowl game when their defense was literally giving up more than 40 points per game. That's how nasty he was in college. He's the AFC Player of the Week. I think that was his first career start. Unless KC had clinched. Unless they had clinched last year. Well, here, I can go to see if he had any stats last year. I'm sorry. He did have one start last year. They must have clinched, and he played week 17. And yeah, he went 22 of 35, 284 yards, no touchdowns, one pick in his NFL starting debut. So there was his second career start. And he lit it up, man. AFC Player of the Week, 256 yards passing, four touchdowns, no interceptions. And the dude can run, too. He's very athletic. KC's got their quarterback for the future. Mahomes might add a few years to Andy Reid's career and his life, because he's not going to be stressing much when you got this guy playing quarterback. And I like him at Pittsburgh plus the 4.5. Since Andy Reid took over, KC is 13-9 against the spread as a road underdog. Now, Big Ben. I've always liked Big Ben. He's got rings and things. He's been there and he's done it. And he's still pretty good. He's not a top five quarterback anymore. In fact, I mean, after I watched those five picks against the Jags last year, I'm talking about the regular season game, and I don't know how many he threw in the playoff game. And then I watch him throw three picks last week and a fumble, critical fumble. Four turnovers against the Browns last week, and I had to go back and do a little fishing for some stats. And in Big Ben's last 41 starts, 46 picks in his last 41 starts. Gosh, excuse me. So, not good. Not good, Big Ben. I like KC. I think we have the head coaching advantage. I think we have the quarterback advantage. We're getting four and a hook. And the Steelers played five quarters last year, whereas KC was up 31-12 late third, not implying they put their backups in, but, you know, the game was not in doubt. All right. We got a lot to talk about. We got my boy Cole McDonald. Hawaii is just my team now. Hawaii is my team this year. Now, they didn't cover the 17-point spread. I'll go over with you how we got that over last week. We got to talk about my guy, Eric Dungy. And we're going to talk a lot of Alabama Ole Miss. So many good storylines in this game. We got games of the year. Oh, the one I was going to mention was I thought Mississippi State was a steal -3 in games of the year coming into the season. So after two performances by Mississippi State and Florida, now Mississippi State is favored by 9.5. So a 6.5-point discrepancy. Now, I say that. Actually, a couple of books had moved it from 3 to 3.5, like really, really late in August. But it was sitting there hanging at 3 for more than well over a month. Now it's 9.5. Now, here's a fun. Oh, we're going to get to the semis. We're going to get to the next segment. I'm going to be way more happy, excited, not so pissed, not so many F-bombs. And Felipe Franks would be, you know, F-squared. That's who causes my F-bombs these days. Ole Miss's offense and their dismal defense at Alabama, my power rankings, injuries. We got so much to get to. Games Galore 49. Don't go anywhere. Papa Harbo and I shall return. Happy birthday. The world is at your door. But the music's blaring, and I'm passed out on the floor. Welcome back. Games Galore 49. Thanks for joining us. Harbo Studio, Seagrove Beach, Florida. I'm your host, Brian Edwards. Follow me on Twitter at Vegas B. Edwards. Sincere apologies to all listeners for that dog shit pick on South Carolina last week. I tell you what, man, I was confident in it. The loss of DJ Wonnum really hurt. Muschamp said he had hurt his ankle against Coastal Carolina. I wasn't trying to do a cop out when I talked about CC Jefferson and David Reese on the Gators or the missed field goal. Oh, God, I still forgot to show you that missed field goal.
We'll see it.
We'll see it eventually. And I'm not trying to do a cop-out on South Carolina because of DJ Wonnum. But DJ Wonnum, all right, let me show you his stats from last year. 57 tackles, 6 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, 5 passes broken up, and 2 QB hurries. He wasn't even on the injury report last Monday. And then Muschamp was saying he was going to play. He pops up on the injury report like Monday night, maybe early Tuesday, and he's probable. I mean, I don't even – if you're probable, you're playing. So – but, I mean, I'm not saying that would have changed my pick. I mean, I had been talking about his pick since the summer, but that hurt. And now he's out for more than a month, or at least a month. At least a month with a ligament tear or issue in his ankle. Something to that effect. So now, South Carolina is one of the games that is canceled this week with Marshall, postponed. The other ones being Vatek, East Carolina, UNC, UCF, Lucky Fedora, Lucky Tar Heels. They were going to get that ass tore up. It'll be interesting to see.
This is all because of the hurricane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And like right now, and by the way, get you a score update.
Although sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, no, you're fine. Interrupt anytime you want.
And then, Arbo. What do they do with those games? They just play them later, or what?
Well, yeah, that's what I was about to get to. Because unless they share an open date, in other words, see, South Carolina is off October 20th.
Now, right.
If Marshall had that same open date, they could play then. But I've already looked at Marshall, and they don't.
No.
And neither does UNC or UCF. And UCF. There's a high probability they'll be playing in their conference championship game here. There's a very high probability that South Carolina won't be playing.
Gotcha.
Conference championship game right there.
Gotcha.
But more pressing, and I have dealt with this through the years. When you have a game postponed, it has always, to my knowledge, and it's happened to me, and it's happened this way. When a game is postponed, all bets on season win totals are no plays, cancels, push. Even KIV last year conceded that to me. And we had a $500 bet, most wins out of K-State in Florida.
Right.
And she conceded that when we got our game against, was Idaho like 3 years ago. Who did we get our game canceled against last year? I thought I wasn't going to talk about the Gators.
Nope. Just real quick.
I thought I'd put myself on Gator probation. Northern Colorado game got canceled last year. So I saw a tweet from Jimmy Vaccaro at the South Point where Musburger and my buddies, Matt Humans, Paul Howard. Mitch Moss. I was shooting a blank on Mitch's name for a second. So anyway, I saw a tweet from Jimmy Vaccaro saying that it is quote-unquote house rules at the South Point that they do not do a no play when the game gets canceled, which I call bullshit on that. But, I mean, obviously, if you buy the ticket and it says it, I mean, and they, you know, make you aware of it. But, and he did specify on the tweet that it was house rules, if you will. So, I think that's very much the minority of books. But, you know, so, hey, for any listeners that bet South Carolina's win total over, okay, and you, not that we encourage any illegal gambling. We encourage all your gambling to take place in New Jersey, West Virginia, Mississippi, or Nevada, the four states where it is now legal. Within 5 years, it'll be legal in at least 20 to 25 states. But so if you listen to me and follow me on the over on South Carolina, well, A, I apologize because you probably followed me on that plus 10L last week, and Moneyline. But also, if you have a friendly bookie, if you've been using your same bookie for years and years and years, you just tell his ass that's the deal, okay? You don't ask. You tell, okay? Because I had never heard of this. But look, I mean, if that's how they do it at South Point, and that's how they do it, I'm sure it says it on the back of the ticket. If it's house rules, it's house rules. But if your bookie has not clarified that for you, fudge that BS. You tell your bookie that that's a no play. Well, and here's the catch. South Carolina still might go over, so you don't want to say no play quite yet. you want to say no play once you're clinched of having an L there. But, you know, Marshall, a non-conference home game, is obviously one that we had marked as a W. So, yeah, have that conversation with the bookman later in the year. That's a November convo to have. And, hey, don't need to have it if we go over. Don't need to have it if we push. But, so, there's that. So, DJ Wonnum's out for a month, and Georgia looks spectacular. I moved them up from 4 to 2 in my power rankings. Here are my power rankings. You know the UNO. Alabama football. The first time I ever, actually the second time I walked into Bryant-Denny, the Gators were playing. It was October 1st of 2005. Amazing how I remember little things like that, huh?
Photographic memory. It was I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, I don't know what it would be. But it was the pro throw game. Poor Tyrone pro throw. He basically, his leg was ruined in that game. Shouldn't have been in the game. They're up 31-3. That's on Mike Shula. I remember when Shula hired Prothrow for some job with the Panthers. I think Shula's still with the Panthers as OC. And he's been there for a long, long time. But anyhow, he hired Prothrow to some job like 2 or 3 years ago. And I'm like, it's about fucking time you hired him. They had a Real Sports HBO special like 6 or 7 years ago. The dude is still limping. Okay, still limping a decade after this injury, and he was working as a bank teller. All due respect to the bank tellers. But, I mean, this guy, I mean, he was so short, I don't know that he would have played in the NFL, but he definitely would have earned a paycheck playing in the CFL or somewhere. He still, to this day, has the best catch I've ever seen in my life. That catch he made against Southern Miss on a bomb in traffic. This guy's like 5'6", Harbo. He reaches over the DB, catches it with his arms extended around the DB, and then they hit. Then they hit the ground, and he maintains control of it.
That's awesome.
It was the best catch I've ever seen in my life, to this day.
Tangent: Barry Sanders was like 5'8".
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little dudes can catch and run.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no doubt. My boy Kadarius Toney. Hey, man, might want to get him some touches this week. Just thought. All right, I'm literally on Gator probation. I'm not talking about it anymore.
All right, back to it.
Right, yeah. Bama is the UNO. Oh, I know where I was going. So, yeah, the second time I walked into Bryant-Denny, the first time I went to a widespread show with Turner Seminole. He's itching too right now. All you semis are out there itching. I mean, I'm itching too. But we went and saw Widespread at Oak Mountain in Birmingham. And then our boy Brian Jones, shout out. Did Charleston have to evacuate?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
No, you don't have to. Okay. You don't have to. I was wondering if Brian Jones had to evacuate. Because if so, it'll probably be down in Actionville this weekend. Not that I'm going there. But Turner could see him. So we went to the sweet show at Oak Mountain on a Friday night in October of 94. So you can imagine how great the weather was. It was so awesome. And then we went to Tuscaloosa the next day. Eric Zier was quarterback for Georgia, 94. And Georgia was beating Alabama the whole game. Zier had the game of his life, threw for more than 300 yards. And Alabama had two great kickers in the 90s. One was Philip Doyle, and the other one was Proctor. I think it was Michael Proctor. Excuse me. And one of them buried a field goal late to win it, but Georgia had been winning the whole game. But that was just a great college football game. That was my first time to Bryant-Denny. My second, October 1st, 05, the Pro Throw game. Right when I walk in, Harbo, I just hear, and it wasn't because the players were running out. I mean, it was probably 10 minutes before kick, and the announcer just goes, "This is Alabama football." And I was just like, ugh, gross. Gross. What the hell? What is this shit? So anyway, Alabama's the uno. Georgia's two. Clemson is three. Ooh, Clemson. More than 500 yards of offense to Dumbo. Kellen Mond looked good last week. Obviously, I was dialed into my L, but I was certainly paying attention to that one as well. But it was third on my list. Second was Samford. Devlin Hodges, my man. I need to go back to the box score. I don't know if FSU was plus four or plus five in turnover margin, but the semis, they're playing Samford, not Stanford, Harbo. Samford in Birmingham, FCS school. And they were down 13-0 mid-first after they had lost 24-3 on Monday night. And they were down by 9 two separate times. They were down 26-21 with less than 4 minutes left. DeAndre Francois scored on, I think it was scrambling. And I kind of just saw the tail end of the highlight. And, you know, I was making fun of... You know who? We're not going back there for celebrating. I mean, I got to get on the semis, too. What in the hell, dude? You take your first lead of the season. You played 7 quarters and 11 minutes and change of football, and you get your first lead of the season, and you guys are just celebrating? I mean, that was uncalled for. I mean, that was as bad as everything I mentioned in the first segment about something went down to the east of you in Tally. Or east of the toilet bowl off Pensacola Street. Joke, shamble, the toilet bowl. But anyway, and then if she gets a pick six and they win, it looks like they won comfortably. Nah, not so much. And they were, like, if you're plus four in turnover margin, and it might have been plus five. I need to go check that in the box score. If you're plus five in turnover margin against an FCS team, you got to beat that team by 50. Don't you? I think so. Anyway... So Clemson's three. They got out of College Station by the hair of their chinny chin chin. But you know what? That's a game where, in all reality, you look at that game and just, like if you're looking at it in June, just go, just give me a 1-point W, get on that airplane, get back home undefeated. So nobody hurt for Clemson. But that defense is not as good as I thought. A defense as nasty as I thought. Look, they've got four guys. Three of them are definitely going to be first-round picks. The fourth one is, at worst, a preseason third-team All-American. I mean, your entire four-man defensive front is All-Americans, future NFL players. And Kellen Mond is lighting you up. I mean, he was lighting you up. Ryan Ratting, shout out. That's trouble. That's trouble. You've got some tricky road games. ACC's garbage, though. The Ohio State University. Oh, do you want to read my lead-in? Oh, gosh. Here, I'll go. Yeah, let me read my lead-in to my Ohio State TCU preview. Because I never really got around to writing a full... Oh, thank you. Yeah, right there. I never really got around to writing a full column on our boy Oscar in that despicable disgrace of a shit show press conference. So I decided to get my jabs in on my Ohio State TCU preview, which you can find at VegasInsider.com. You also find my week 2 rewind and my injury report and my Georgia State at Memphis preview. Wow, I've got 4 bylines already. It's only Thursday. Way to go. Okay, here's my intro paragraph. With its head coach left behind in Columbus due to a 3-game suspension for being a serial liar who tried to get his AD fired and refused to offer an apology to an alleged victim of domestic violence at a press conference he had nearly a month to prepare for, the Ohio State University football team that values winning over class, integrity, common decency, and multiple breaches of contract by its still suspended head coach, in parentheses, Oscar Meyer, quote-unquote, or Urban Liar, quote-unquote, whichever you prefer, in parentheses, travels to Jerry World in Arlington to take on TCU this Saturday night. Now, I go down later, and I say, Like I've been saying since that tone-deaf, despicable disgrace of oppressor in August, I don't see Meyer at Ohio State into the distant future. And then I say, you see, there are some people out there that figured out how this mercurial dude operates a long time ago. Now click that. Click that. Ah, what's the date on that? December 9th, 2010. Brian Edwards. Yeah. Yeah. Nailed it. Nailed that one. Okay. Can you go back, Carmo? Okay. And so this is why I don't think he's long for Columbus. He's bitter at the school president for insisting on a suspension. He's livid he had to participate in that press conference. His relationship with AD Gene Smith is finished after Meyer tried to deflect all the blame for the Zach Smith fiasco, and then in parentheses, that started with an arrest in 2009 when Oscar was still at UF. And so then I go back to where he was blaming Gene Smith and deflecting blame for the Zach Smith fiasco toward his boss in the first of three lengthy tweets he sent out, parentheses, while only being available to answer questions from the media once, and how'd that go? To explain his actions, parentheses, or lies, whichever you prefer, since self-induced turmoil engulfed his program due to his inability to tell the truth in front of hundreds of media members at Big Ten Media Days. Anyway, that's that. That's all. I might have got another cheap shot in later, but no big deal. Back to our rankings. Ohio State's 4. Oklahoma's 5. Big loss for Oklahoma. Rodney Anderson out for the season. 6, Auburn. 7, Wisconsin. All right, I'm not liking what I'm seeing from Wisconsin, and the judge ordered Quintez Cephas to stand trial. So their best receiver, barring some legal maneuvering or charges drop out of the blue, it doesn't look like they're going to get him back. They do get Danny Davis back. Not my guy, Danny Davis. Shout out. Lives in Memphis. Not my buddy, Danny Davis. Different Danny Davis. But anywho, I'm not liking what I'm seeing out of Wisconsin, man. I mean, Jonathan Taylor leads the nation in rushing yards. We expected that. Okay, that's no surprise. But I'm just not liking what I'm seeing from the Badgers. And they've got some other personnel issues. They've got a couple of guys that are banged up, et cetera. So Stanford 8. There was a winner. Well, and that kind of, yeah. So I had a bad showing last week with South Carolina. I did have the winner on Stanford, but I got it at 3.5 on Sunday night. And by the time we had the pod last week, it was up to 5.5 or 6, and I couldn't in good conscience recommend it. Well, they won by 14, 17-3. So hopefully you took it anyway. Washington 9, Mississippi State 10. And I don't give two shits. I don't even know what the AP polls are. I mean, I don't even know what they say. I don't know where Mississippi State is. This is a legit top 10 team. And guess what? Not only do they now have two quarterbacks, they've got two running backs, too. Go to their page. Keelan Hill is balling, and Aris Williams better get healthy, because Keelan Hill is ripping it up right now. He's averaging more than 10 yards per carry. And I know they played Stephen F. Austin the first week, but most of that work was done at K-State last week. Okay, 11, Notre Dame. Man, the odds makers are not giving the Fighting Irish a lot of respect here. Only a 13.5-point favorite against Vandy. And Vandy has blown out Middle Tennessee and Nevada, a couple mid-major programs. So Vandy's off to a nice start again. Good for Derek Mason. I love me some Derek Mason. And he's probably got to win at least 6 this year. I would think he needs to win 6. 12, Penn State. I will concede Penn State might should be a little higher, maybe. I just really don't think Pittsburgh's any good. But boy, when you hang 50 on the road to an in-state rival like that, that's pretty good stuff. So, Trace McSorley, I see you guys. Put together another a good performance or two, and you'll be in my top 10. Or, I mean, maybe as soon as next week. I don't know why I'm shooting a blank on who Penn State is playing this week, but all we got to do is look it up. Oh, Kent State. 13, the Hoax. Vatek. 14, LSU. We will find out your game of the week, by the way. LSU at Auburn. 10 at last look. I even saw one of my accounts had it 10.5. And, well, I see a 9.5. I see a 10.5. I see a lot of 10s on the board. TCU 15. We will damn sure find out about the Frogs, who trailed SMU 9-0 at the end of the first quarter. And although they led 14-12 at halftime, Kevontae Turpin had a 78-yard punt return for a touchdown, and they got a defensive touchdown for both of those scores. So, and look, SMU, not very good on defense. Mason Fine, and look, North Texas, they're pretty little decent little mid-major program. Seth Luttrell's done a good job there, and Mason Fine is outstanding. He had 444 yards passing against SMU, the Ponies, the Stangs, whatever you want to call them. Three touchdowns and no interceptions the week before. So clearly SMU has not been known for defense for a very long time. And TCU didn't score a touchdown on them in the first half offensively. And they ended up pulling away. Well, they got another defensive touchdown in the second half. And they win 42-12 and actually covered as 23.5-point favorites. But TCU's got a lot to prove to me, and they get their opportunity. Jerry World, Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on ABC. West Virginia, 16. Texas A&M, 17. Yeah, that's one of those L's that elevates you in my rankings. Very impressed with Kellen Mond. Very impressed. I liked everything I saw out of A&M. Their fight, their effort, and most importantly, their quarterback play. 18, Michigan. 19, Boise State. We find out a lot about Boise State this week as they go to Stillwater to take on the Fighting Gundies. UCF 20. Again, lucky Fedoras. Lucky Tar Heels, because that ass was going to get tore up. And I think I started to mention it earlier, but might have got sidetracked. North Carolina's got a bunch of four-game suspensions to players. I'm wondering how this cancellation, postponement, whatever you want to call it, I'm wondering how that is going to work toward those suspensions. 21, Oregon, 22, Oklahoma State, 23, Boston College, in action right now. It's 14 all in Winston-Salem. You know, I wanted to play Wake Forest today, but they just have so many injuries already. I mean, their second-best receiver, Scotty Washington, he was questionable. I don't know if he's playing. I haven't looked at a box score yet. They lost their third-team All-ACC offensive tackle from last year, Justin Heron, to a season-ending injury. They lost their backup tight end, Thomas Cole, for the season. They lost their defensive tackle, Bateman, for the season, who started three games, had 4.5 tackles for loss last year. They lost Jeff Burley, their backup running back, Arkeem Byrd, 395 rushing yards, 5.1 yards per carry average last year. He's gone for the season. Zeke Rodney, 7.5 tackles for loss, 5 QB hurries. He's gone for the season. Kobe Davis, one of their DBs, he's gone for the season. I mean, it's only week 3. It's September 13th. Wake Forest doesn't have that kind of depth to be taking personnel hits like that. So I couldn't pull the trigger on Wake. obviously it's 5:48 left in the second. We'll see what happens on that one. But yeah, I just couldn't pull the trigger on Wake, and I will always be bitter at Anthony Brown, BC's quarterback, till the end of time for that bullshit in the Pinstripe Bowl. 4 hours I'll never ever have back as I watched that dog shit defensive struggle between BC and Iowa and was ahead of the number the entire freaking game until the last minute. Never thought for 1 second I was going to lose that game until the final minute of the game. Anywho, BC 23, South Carolina 24. South Carolina? Yes, South Carolina, the pups will deal out ass beatings like they did last week to many other teams. And love it when I'm right, or at least two games deep, but I was one of the minority that loved the Herm Edwards hire and your D-bag Dan Wolkins, your other national media guys absolutely destroyed ASU for hiring Herm Edwards. And I loved it. Thinking being class, integrity, that guy can motivate. I mean, he would give me chill bumps sometimes just in the ESPN studio talking. I mean, that guy will get you pumped, and he reeks of class and integrity, will be able to recruit well. Arizona State beats Michigan State. You know who we don't have in my rankings this week, Harbo? We do not have – oh, wait. I do have Michigan at 18.
Right.
But there's no sign of UF. There's no sign of FSU. There's no sign of Texas. And there's no sign of Michigan State either. There's another school that's a basketball school now. We have five. Well, they might have been a basketball
school.
They've
always been a basketball school.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's true. D'Antonio's done well there. But yeah, no.
Yeah.
Izzo, right. He hasn't done Izzo well. Mm-mm. He hasn't done Izzo well. I tell you what, all that.
They've got their own scandal.
All that controversy. Well, not the gymnastics controversy, but well, the controversy about D'Antonio and Izzo. That stuff kind of went away pretty quick.
Swept under the rug pretty fast.
Yeah, did get swept under the rug. All right, who's knocking on the door of my top 25? Missouri. Huge revenge game for Mizzou as they take on tough luck, winless Purdue. Purdue loses two real nail biters. Real nail bite-ish games with Northwestern in week one. And with Harbaugh's alma mater, the Eagles of Eastern Michigan last week. Both those games at home, and they're at home again. And, I mean, it was stunning the way Jeff Brohm and the Boilermakers went into Columbia, Missouri last year and won 35-3 as a 7-point underdog. And this is a big-time revenge game for Mizzou. Look, Mizzou has beaten UT Martin 51-14. They beat Wyoming 40-13, but let me tell you something. I know Wyoming's in the Mountain West, but you know they went to the Mountain West championship game last year. And I'm getting to my Wyoming page here. The fact that Missouri scored 40 on them, look, Wyoming has got a good defense. They've got at least minimum three NFL players on this defense. In fact, and I haven't like looked on mock drafts to see where they are, but Carl Granderson, that dude's going to get a lot of sacks on Sundays in his future. And Andrew Wingard, he is going to be a quality safety in the NFL for at least a decade. And Cash Maluia, Logan Wilson, those guys might play in the NFL as well. And Mizzou put 40 up on them, and I questioned Derek Dooley's hire as OC. And look, it's early. We all know that. Early returns, pretty good on Derek Dooley's return to the SEC. So Missouri, I believe they're 6 at Purdue. Huge revenge game. I I hate going against SEC in the Big Ten. And I'm not saying I'm playing Purdue, but I did take Purdue in my contest. But my contest comes out with their lines from, like, Monday. So I was getting 7.5 in my contest, where I'm trying to find it on the board. Oh, here it is. It's 6. Total of 65.5. All right, so we hit on my rankings. We were going to go... Oh, let's go games of the year. Okay, here we are. Okay, so for week 3, next week, and I'm not going to remember what all these were in the summer. I probably will the SEC ones. But right now, we're looking at Penn State minus 20.5 at Illinois. Oh, I guess that's Friday night. Oh, we got a Friday night doubleheader next week. Oh, sweet. Washington State at USC, big revenge game for USC. Loyal listeners will remember that I told you to hammer Washington State plus the 5 and on the money line last year. And Luke Falk delivered for us that night. Outplayed Sam Darnold. Oh, by the way, whew, nice performance by Sammy D the other night in Motown. And damn, Stafford, you looked awful. Awful. But you know what, buddy? That wife of yours at the house, whoo, man, she looks great. So, sucks to be me, and props to you. and you've got like a $90 million freaking contract. And man, is your woman hot. Oh, God dang. She was a cheerleader at Georgia before he bought her some bombs. I'll leave it at that. Notre Dame minus 11.5 at Wake. Oh, Wake, a little extra rest there. Wake will have a couple of extra days rest. Double-digit home dog to Notre Dame. K-State, plus 17.5 at West Virginia. I can guarantee you that number was lower because, I mean, whose stock has fallen the most in 2 weeks of college football? I mean, if Colorado State doesn't pull, I mean, not that they're on the national radar, but if they don't pull off that comeback to Arkansas, we could have included them with 3 games in, but they did pull off that comeback. I mean, whose stock's fallen the most? FSU's, Texas, K-State, Florida. We had the example with Florida and Mississippi State, but I think that's twofold. I think Mississippi State stock has risen. And to give you an example of how FSU has faltered more so than Florida, FSU is now a 4.5-point home favorite to Florida, whereas that line was 7 early in the summer. I feel like I saw it maybe at 6 or even 5.5 as we were approaching week 1. But, you know, the fact that it's, even if it was 5.5, it's fallen another point. So, Nebraska. Now, Martinez is questionable this week, the freshman quarterback. And I will go over all the injuries. We'll probably do 3 segments tonight. And I'll get to that in a brief third segment here. But as we continue down games of the year, and if you want to follow with me, sportsbook.ag. So Nebraska's a 17.5-point dog at Michigan next week. Wisconsin's a 4.5-point favorite at Iowa. Iowa wins 13-3 at home against Iowa State, which saw its initial game postponed, and they lose their quarterback last week for an indefinite period of time. And that's why they're 17.5 at home against Oklahoma. Yeah, Oklahoma, another team in revenge mode. A lot of revenge spots this week. Missouri and Oklahoma in particular. Oklahoma lost outright at home as a 31-point favorite to the Cyclones last year. Alabama, minus 21 versus A&M. Man, they get all their tough games at home this year, except LSU. But they've got Mississippi State, A&M, and Auburn coming to Bryant-Denny. TCU at Texas, Texas minus 3. Who does Texas have this week? Yeah, not going to worry about it right now. Ohio State minus 6.5 at Penn State. Okay, now we've moved on to the next, the following week, which is week 5. And I skipped the Friday night game. It's Colorado minus 10 against UCLA. Oh boy, Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly's not having much fun right now. I'm glad he's not my coach. But for different reasons that will not be discussed on the air. Louisville, minus 2.5 to FSU. Yeah, FSU was favored in that game over the summer. Texas, minus 7 at K-State. The aforementioned trip to Starkville for Mullen. Ooh, might not be much fun. 9.5-point dogs are the once mighties. USC, minus 4.5 to Arizona. Oh, speaking of teams whose stock has fallen, wow. Holy Kevin Sumlin. Holy Khalil Tate. What is going on in Tucson, man? They got boat raced out of Houston, and Houston was losing to Rice. Shout out Jacob Doddridge. That's my cousin. And how dare I fade you, Jacob, with Hawaii minus 17 last week. And I'm still going to get to how we got that over last week. Oh, my gosh. I woke up Sunday morning thinking the damage was a lot worse than it actually was. When I saw that Hawaii game went over, whoo, man, I threw a little something in my step Sunday. Okay, Notre Dame, minus 3.5 to Stanford. Please. Please. Caden Smith. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Bryce Love, KJ Costello will go into South Bend and win outright. Clemson, now we've moved on to week 6, October 6th. Clemson minus 21.5 at Wake. Miami 8.5 at home to FSU. Both those teams are garbage. 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 Wait, what? Notre Dame minus 3.5 at Virginia Tech? What? Oh, my God. Give me the Hokies all day. Okay, LSU Florida was pick 'em in the summer, or even Florida minus 1. LSU's minus 3 now. Wisconsin, minus 9.5 at home to Nebraska. That's another long rebuilding project, but I said that all summer for Scott Frost. I said it all summer for UCLA. I said UCLA was going to go 5-7. They might go 3-9. They might go 3-9. They're going to lose to Fresno. They're a home dog to Fresno State. And I have over 8 on Fresno State's win total, and their best offensive lineman got hurt last week, is out for the year. Don't like that. Okay, all right, here's the game of the year I got on. I got Mississippi State plus 7 in the summer, and now Auburn's minus 3 at Mississippi State. So that, as I was telling you about the Florida-Mississippi State line changing, I thought it was twofold, Florida's stock dropping and Mississippi State's rising. Well, I don't know how anybody could say Auburn's stock has fallen, but yet this line has changed 4 points. Now part of that may be, and I kind of understood it, because this could be a vintage letdown scenario for Mississippi State. But now I think that Mississippi State's game against Florida is going to be a layup. In the summer, I'm thinking, you know, gunning for it, gunning for their former coach, and then vintage letdown scenario. But I still was like, I still got to take Mississippi State plus 7, because, I mean, that should be a pick 'em game. If not Mississippi State favored, if they didn't play Florida the week before. I mean, right now, I mean, if we eliminated the emotions that go into facing your former coach that had been there 9 years, I mean, I'd make Mississippi State favored over Auburn. In Starkville. Not on a neutral field. In Starkville, I do, though. Red River rivalry. Oklahoma's minus 10 to Texas. Washington, 18.5 at UCLA. Boy, Chip Kelly's going to be a home dog a bunch this year. Navy, minus 3.5 at Air Force. All right, now we move on to October 11th, Thursday night game. TCU, minus 17 to Texas Tech. Boy, Kingsbury, he better get those guys going, man. He's going to be out of a job. Utah, give me 2. Utah minus 11.5 to Arizona. Utah, home dog. Home dog to Washington this week. 9-5 against the spread. 14 games as a home dog during Kyle Whittingham's 14-year tenure. He is the third longest tenured FBS coach behind Kirk Ferentz at Iowa and Gary Patterson at TCU. Michigan, -2.5 to Wisconsin. Stock slightly down for both those teams in my eyes since we started playing games a couple weeks ago. Penn State, -7 to Michigan State. Not impressed with Michigan State so far. You barely beat Utah State at home. You lose to Arizona State on the road. Texas A&M, -2.5 to South Carolina. Yeah. Well, that shows you the respect has not all been lost for South Carolina, and hopefully Wonnum will be back for that game, because A&M was like 1.5 in that game this summer, and to me, A&M stock has gone up. So that just gets back to what I'm saying. I mean, Georgia, the pups are going to throw some beatdowns on some other squads. Maybe mine. Although, look, somebody was saying this to me the other day about how good Georgia was, and I was like, oh, time out. Let's don't give the pups a ring they haven't won yet, okay? They haven't been ringed since number 34 played in 1980. 38 years ago, okay? So I'm not giving Georgia any rings they've yet to win, and I will never give them a W in Jacksonville until it's over, till that game's over. And it might come to a merciful end for me. I'll be in Vegas again, just like I was last year. Georgia, speak of the devil, -7 at LSU. That's going to be a hell of a game. That's going to be a tester for the pups. Washington, -5.5 at Oregon. By the way, I watched, like I DVR the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the SEC's post-game shows on their networks. And the guy, I want to say his name's Heinen, the backup to Browning. That dude throws a tight spiral. He can spin it. They showed a touchdown pass. Somebody made a nasty one-handed catch, too. Okay, Stanford, -4.5 at Arizona State. Boise State, -28 to Colorado State on the Smurf turf. UNLV, -3 to Air Force. UNLV's not bad. They're not bad at all. Sanchez has got his best team. Armani Rogers, 4-star recruit from his old high school, Bishop Gorman. Michigan, you're favored by 3 against Sparty.
There we go.
In East Lansing. Ohio State, 23.5 at Purdue. Oklahoma, -7 at TCU. Mississippi State, LSU, pick them. I'll take Mississippi State all day right there. Utah, give me 2. Wow, Utah's 4.5-point favorite to USC. That game will decide. That game will decide the Pac-12 South. Who am I not thinking of? There's nobody besides Utah that can contend there, is there? Let me see. It's not Arizona. If we've learned anything in 2 weeks, it's that, and I must raise my hand, I did say Arizona could win the Pac-12 South. I was expecting Khalil Tate 2017, not whatever we got going on here. I guess Colorado. Yeah, maybe Colorado. You know, Colorado will be 4-0 going into a home game against Arizona State. But when they play, oh, they got to play at USC when USC's got 2 weeks to prepare and they don't. And they got to play at Washington. So never mind on that. And if we don't get they'll probably have an Apple Cup line. But if we don't get to Washington State, minimal expectations out in Pullman. And I know they haven't really beaten anybody. But Minshaw, the ECU grad transfer, is playing pretty decent at quarterback. And you never know. Mike Leach can call some ball plays. Oh, my God. Thank God he didn't get the Tennessee job. Thank you, God. Oh, my God, how pissed would I be if he got that job. Ugh. Because, I mean, I wanted Chris Peterson or And I'm not selling Mullen down the river. Don't get me wrong. I'm not supposed to talk about the Gators, am I? Never mind.
Nope.
Can't do it. Sorry.
You were cut off an hour ago.
Yes, that's right. But my third choice would have been Mike Leach. Mullen would have been my fourth choice. Arizona -1.5 at UCLA. What a scrub game. That should not even be televised. All right, now we're all the way to October 26th, and this is becoming a very time-consuming thing. I'm going to have to start skipping some games. Wow, Miami -3 at BC. BC, getting a little respect. Let's check that score, by the way. See what we got there. 21 all at halftime. Man, I want to know if Scotty Washington's playing. The halftime line's not out yet. It must have literally just gone to halftime. Oh, wow. Clemson's now 15.5 at FSU. Oh, boy. Oak State -3 at home to Texas. Wisconsin -11 at Northwest, 11.5 at Northwestern. Mississippi State -6.5 at home to A&M. Oh, boy. The Pups are up to 16.5 against the once mighties. Navy, a 16.5 point home dog to Notre Dame. That seems a little rich. FSU's catching 3.5 at NC State. Wake's -3 to Syracuse. Oh, we haven't talked about Dungy yet. Oh, you got enough time for a third segment?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, good deal. Well, then let's go ahead and take a break now. We'll polish off these November games of the year. I want to talk about Eric Dungy. I got a lot of Alabama Ole Miss stuff I want to talk. Not a long third segment. We're more than halfway home, but we got more to go. Don't go anywhere. Games Galore 49, back in a few. Ladies and gents, welcome back. Games Galore 49. I'm your host, Brian Edwards. Let's polish off some of these games of the year. I'm going to kind of skip around. Alabama is now 12.5 at LSU. West Virginia at Texas is now a pick 'em. Oklahoma -20.5 at Texas Tech. Kingsbury could be in must-win scenario there to keep his job. Excuse me. Why does UCLA have so many games? I mean, God, they suck. Oh, wow. Washington is still 9.5 to Stanford. That's what it was all summer. And I said, get it. And I forget the stat. I think it, I said it this summer a few times. I believe Shaw as an underdog of 9.5 or more is won outright all three times. Pretty sure that's accurate. I'll have to go back and check. But Louisville at the Cuse, pick them. All right, I got to skip all these dog shit games. Come on. All right, Ohio State -10.5 at Michigan State. Penn State -1 at home to Wisconsin. The Pups -5 at home to Auburn. Whew. That's pretty good respect for. I think that's a good number. Bedlam Pokes +14 at OU. Miss State is +17 at Bama. That's what it was all summer. Or wait, hold on. Maybe, was that 19 this summer? It might have been 19 this summer. I might have been thinking about a different Bama game. FSU +10.5 at Notre Dame. Double digit dog to those chumps. Jeez. Fatech -1.5 at home to Miami. Miami sucks. I said all summer there. So I think I had them 18, and they were what, like 8 or 7 or 8 in AP and coaches. Those polls are garbage. Oak State -2.5 at home to West Virginia. USC -7.5 at UCLA. That would be the Bruins. Egg Bowl. Miss State -8.5 at Ole Miss. UCF -5.5 at USF. That'll probably decide that side of the AAC. Civil War. Oregon -20.5. At Oregon State. This is going to be a big game in the Big 12, I believe. Oklahoma -5.5 in Morgantown. Apple Cup, there's our Mike Leach reference. 14-point home dog to Coach Pete Browning, Gaskin, and the Huskies. South Kakalaki +21.5 at Clemson. I mentioned FSU minus 4.5 at home to Florida at the Toilet Bowl. And Syracuse plus 10.5 at BC. Syracuse is always relevant for me. Oh, here we go, Harbo. Ohio State, Michigan at Ohio State. What do you think the line's going to be?
I don't know. Tell me, Brian. Tell me what the damage is.
9.5.
It's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, not too bad. Georgia, minus 20 to Tech. Look at the kitty cats. Only 7-point dog at Louisville. And Mizzou, minus 14 at home against Arky. And Tennessee, minus 1 at Vandy. I'll take Vandy all day on that. And here's your updated Iron Bowl spread, folks. All our loyal listeners, all you Bammers and Aubies, you ready? It was 9, 9.5 during the summer. Now, Alabama, 10.5 point favorite. So, if that holds, double-digit favorite in every game in their pre-playoff stretch. A&M, minus 1.5 in College Station to LSU. And Arizona State's now 1.5 at Arizona. Man, this is just a disaster with Sumlin. I mean, I'm starting to think of Sumlin at Arizona kind of like Chip Kelly, the one and done with the 49ers after the Eagles stint. I mean, it is going south. It was never north. I mean, brutal. Just brutal what is going on in Tucson. Okay, I told you earlier, I like the Chiefs. They're not the Chiefs anymore. They're the KC Chiefs. Oh, shout out to Tracy, bartender at McTiggy Wiggy's, Blue Mountain Beach, Florida. Yeah, I like the Chiefs plus 4.5 to the Steelers. I like the Panthers plus 6 to the Falcons. DeSean Jackson's doubtful for the Bucs. Vernon Hargraves is out for the season. Ouch for the Bucs. I went with the Ravens tonight. Just a little small change. I rarely take the road team on the midweek NFL games because it's so advantageous to be at home. No travel, extra prep, etc. But Baltimore to Cincinnati is a short flight. And we are in week 2. And Baltimore's better than Cincy. So I took Baltimore.
Good call.
Yeah, I think so. We'll know soon. All right, look, the Cuse. Okay, I think I've talked about the Cuse and Dungy a good bit. And I'm going to talk about them some more right now. Okay, they were up 34-7 at halftime in Western Michigan. Babers understandably wanted to get Dungy out of harm's way. I've said it. I'm going to keep saying it. He is the most important player to his team than anybody in America. And don't give me Tua, Tonga Viola. Hey, I've got that pronunciation down now. Tonga Viola, Nui Matalolo. I'm getting it. I understand Babers wanting to get him out of harm's way. But not when Western Michigan scores 21 in a row like that and makes it a one-possession game when you're up 34-7 and a half. He puts Dungy in, promptly leads him on a touchdown drive. Western Michigan answers. What's Dungy do? Promptly leads him on another touchdown drive. They beat Wagner like 90-2 last week. I'm kidding. I think it was 62-10. When they were in Tallahassee last week, you got to understand the situation when they were in Tallahassee, last year. So Syracuse beats Clemson, unbeaten and second ranked, to improve to 4-3. Okay, and then they have a vintage letdown scenario at Miami, 8th ranked, unbeaten Miami, who would weeks later absolutely blast Virginia Tech and Notre Dame. And I believe Notre Dame undefeated at that point? I'm not looking it up. I think they might have been. But so they have to go down to Miami in a letdown scenario, 17-point dog, a hammered Syracuse. I thought they overcompensated for the letdown scenario. Like, I thought the line should really be 11 and maybe 14 because of the letdown scenario. It was 17, I hammered Syracuse. They committed 4 first-half turnovers and still were on the fringe of the red zone in the final minute, down 27-19, one-possession game. If they would have scored and Felipe Franks was their quarterback, he would have gone and celebrated in the end zone. Never mind the 2-point conversion. Nah. Damn it. I keep breaking my rules. I keep going back.
Keep going back.
I keep going back. Can't stop. Can't stop. Won't stop. So that, all right. So they lose that game 27-19 to Miami. They got to fly back to the Cuse, which is Northern New York State. And what do they got to do the next week? They got to fly back down to Florida again and go to Tallahassee. Dungy gets hurt on the first drive, goes to the locker room. They must have shot him up with something. Because whatever, I'm serious, Harbro, because the injury he had, he missed the rest of the first quarter. He comes back early second, and he plays pretty damn good the rest of the way. And he didn't play the rest of the season. Three blowout losses. So that tells me they shot him up with something, which I'm fine with that.
Right.
I mean, it's not illegal. I mean, if I'm a senior in college, he's not a senior, or he wasn't a senior then. If I'm a senior in college and I know I'm not playing in the pros, fuck, shoot me up, whatever. Get me on the field.
Numb me out.
I'm not saving this for the league. You know, shoot me up. I don't care. I just don't want to feel this pain. Get me back in there, coach. So without Dungy for a quarter, they still outyarded FSU. Back-to-back travel spot, back-to-back weeks, long flight, minus your stud for a quarter, they still out-yarded FSU 463 to 343. They out-first downed them 21-13, but their freaking field goal kicker missed two field goals, including one to tie on the final play of regulation, and they lose by three. And then Dungy doesn't play again the rest of the year. Okay, so you just heard those stats, the way they outplayed them in Tallahassee last year. Okay, now FSU's had a coaching change. And the Willie T era is not exactly off to a flying start. Does this game feel trappish? Sure, it does. It does. And this line was 9 in the summer, and that's when I was really calling for Syracuse. But I'm still calling for it. Syracuse is going to win this game. And I don't like to, you know, get my sides and totals together. As I say that, I'm about to tell you to take Alabama and the over. But I think it's going to be high scoring, but 68 is too much. I'm not going over 68 on this one. But, yeah, I talked about how bad FSU is. They're really bad. They're really bad. Syracuse is going to beat them, and that's that. Okay, Alabama at Ole Miss. Look, I've been raving about Ole Miss's offense. I love Jordan Ta'amu, and my buddy Will Haraway, Sundogs, you hear his music every week. He said over the summer, or even as far back as maybe even late last fall, or at least early spring when it was clear Patterson was transferring. Ooh, that Budweiser tastes good. Yeah. He said he'd rather have Ta'amu than Patterson, and he didn't put it like that. He said, but because he's better than Patterson. You know what? Will Haraway was not lying. Jordan Ta'amu is better than Shea Patterson. Jordan Ta'amu is playing his ass into some money, is what he's doing. Because he's going to get drafted. And I think Phil Steele, in terms of draft-eligible quarterbacks, I mean, he had him on his list. I'm going to it right now, by the way. But I think he had him like in the upper 40s, if not 50. Let's see. Where are you? Where are you, Jordan Ta'amu? Huh? Where is he? Okay. Oh, no. Duh. I'm looking at linebackers, not quarterbacks. Duh.
It's not going to get you anywhere.
No. Yeah, 52. He had him behind Jarrett Garantano. I mean, really? Really? And I love Phil Steele. I love his magazine.
We got to get him on here.
You know, we could probably swing that. He's a busy guy, but...
5 minutes.
Yeah. Nah, fuck that. If we're getting him on, minimum 15. I meant to holler at the Bear, Chris Falica, because we follow each other on Twitter, and we've interacted a time or two. I was going to... I mean, obviously, he has a large audience. ESPN
course,
Game Day.
Of course.
Obviously, my lead and my direct message to him would certainly be, this is small potatoes, my man.
I know you're busy.
I know you're busy. I know you have bigger audiences. However, if you'd like to give me 15 or 20 minutes of your time. Yada, yada. Look, Jordan Ta'amu has already played himself into some money. He's definitely getting drafted. And, hey, he's got a big opportunity. This is what you got to love about football and you got to love about sports, is the opportunity that Ole Miss has here. I mean, it's not happening, people. It ain't happening. But what could happen, and I will not be surprised in the least, is Ole Miss is going to score some points. And they might score them early and often. Do not be surprised if Ole Miss gets out to an early lead here. And do not be worried about your 21-point ticket. Because over the course of 60 minutes, the only way this is a one-possession game in the fourth quarter is if Ole Miss is plus 3, maybe 4 or more, in turnover margin. Because Ole Miss isn't going to get a 3-and-out all day, okay? If it's the starters in and the outcome's still in doubt, Ole Miss's defense is not going to get a 3-and-out all day. Alabama, if they played, you know, full go, you know, we're not trying to milk clock, we're not trying to, you know, just ice this game, get in the locker room, get on the airplane, go home without any more injuries, what have you. They could run for 600 or 700 yards on Ole Miss. Ole Miss's run defense has no shot. Now, again, three-pointers in basketball are the great equalizer. Football, turnovers are the great equalizer. Fumbles. I don't see them happening, but if they do, that's Ole Miss's only shot. But I do really think that Ole Miss could score 31 points in this game. Maybe more than that. And that would leave Alabama on the hook for a lot of freaking points laying 21, but they're going to get it. They're going to score as much as they want to. And by the way, this is the highest total ever for an Alabama football game. In fact, the highest total previously was 65. And now, we're going back to 1985 there, but trust me, folks, pre-85 was cloud. I mean, what's the cloud of dust?
Dust storm? What are you talking about?
3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Okay.
No, I'm trying to think of this, like, old just archaic term. Gotcha. 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So, trust me, before 80, like, in other words, I can only prove to you that there were no totals higher than 65 going back to 85, but I can assure you that pre-85 was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and I doubt there are any totals in the 50s. So I will confidently say this is the highest total in the history of Alabama football, and it's the highest by 6 points. 65 is the previous high, and they've only had 4 totals in the 60 in the 60s ever, and 2 of them have come, yes, in the last 2 weeks. So, but that is Alabama's. This is the most explosive offense of the Nick Saban era. This is the only quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. It's the only quarterback who's going to be a first-round pick. And look, man, A.J. McCarron, I mean, he's like Christian Laettner. I mean, what he did in his collegiate career, there's no debate. It's just look at it. It's facts. It's rings and things. And look at the loss. I mean, the 109-yard kick six return. Or, you know, and if they don't review that for that long 57-yard field goal, if I got a bet, I'm putting my money on McCarron and the Tide to win that game in overtime. And, hey, I'll put a healthy amount on it. So, point being, you can take nothing away from A.J. McCarron's collegiate career, but in terms of potential on Sundays at the next level, it's Tua Tagovailoa by miles over every other quarterback in the Nick Saban era. So, and then you talk about Ole Miss's offense. A.J. Brown, Mel Kiper's first big board for the 2019 NFL Draft. Number 4 pick. Offensive tackle Greg Little. Number 6 pick. DK Metcalf. Dude's got like the biggest biceps in college football. DeMarcus Lodge did miss last week's game. Held him out because of a concussion against Texas Tech, but he's good to go. Well, I probably said that about DJ Wan on the defensive tackle for South Carolina last year. We are being led to believe that he's good to go. I think he will go. But over 71 also. And look, the fact that I'm pointing out it's the highest total in Alabama history, that should give pause to taking the over. When you're in an unfamiliar situation, you don't, you know, up it, press it, if you will, to have it not only be an unfamiliar situation, but to go beyond that over unfamiliar situation, at which we are. We're saying that it, you know, goes over 71, but I'm telling you, it's going to be over 71 mid-late third quarter. And listen, I am not passing on an Ole Miss or Hawaii over until I lose one, period. I'm playing it until I lose it. And I almost lost the Hawaii one last week. Almost. Almost does not count. Hawaii scored a touchdown. I'm not looking at the box score, so I might be off by like 10, 15 seconds on some of this. But there was like 3.5 minutes left, somewhere around there, maybe a little less than 3.5 minutes. Hawaii scores, okay, and that made the score 36-22. So that's it. We're at 58 points there. And what was our total? 68, I believe. Okay. And Rice answers like a minute and a half later. So that makes it 36-29. And there's like a minute 15 left. And Rice does an onside kick. And remember, this game wasn't on TV. So, and I fell asleep. I had had a lot to drink to nurse my pain for the first... Oh, I can't repeat it. I'm not going there anymore.
Nope.
Nope. Not doing it. Not doing it. Not doing it again. Been wearing that program out all freaking day. So they do an onside kick. The reason I mentioned it wasn't on TV because I don't know how many timeouts Rice had left. I'm going to assume they had at least 2 timeouts left or maybe even 3 because when Rice did the onside kick, Hawaii recovers. And, you know, if they don't have any timeouts left, you go in victory formation. But they didn't. They ran the ball, which makes me think Rice had at least 2 or 3 timeouts left. And they run it, and the first play busts like a 40-yard run. Touchdown. Over. Winner. We'll take it. We'll take it. It was a bad weekend, Harbo, but it'd have been a lot fucking worse if that had not happened. A lot fucking worse. Okay. So, Alabama and Ole Miss, overs till we lose. I'm not stopping till we lose one. Not going to do it. Now, is Hawaii attractive? +6.5, by the half point, by the hook to 7, or even get some +200-ish money line? Yeah, it is attractive. Hawaii's better than Army. But you know what? That doesn't matter.
Can I interject?
Yeah, please, please.
Does Hawaii have like a home base on the mainland to like operate out from? That's a fair question. Or are they constantly traveling from Hawaii?
That's a very fair question. I want to go to their page and look at their
because I feel like if you're like any trip from Hawaii is going to be a long one.
And
if you're on the road, that's got to get to you.
I mean, from California to Hawaii, if I'm not mistaken, is further than Boston or New York City to California.
Oh, for sure. You're like more than halfway to Japan.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So. All right, see, they don't have back-to-back road games this year. So, okay. Look, like, in the past, Harbo, they would have, usually once a year, they would have back-to-back road games, and that makes it, what you said, a fair question.
Right.
Because they would post up and stay in the mainland for that, whatever.
They'd stay in that city
like
and then move.
9 days.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
9 days.
Okay.
They would do that. And maybe they have even done it maybe twice in the same year. But... they're not doing it this year.
Gotcha.
And in fact, like, but what makes this a scary game backing Hawaii, not only the travel, I mean, you got to go from Hawaii to the East Coast. I think, what's Army? Philadelphia, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Philadelphia. But Also, it's a noon Eastern kick.
That's a red eye.
Well, I mean, what is body clock for Hawaii people? I mean, they're a couple hours behind Pacific time, right?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like, what, 6:30, 7 a.m. to them, at least, and probably more like 5:30 a.m. to them, a noon Eastern kick. I mean, I would assume they left today.
Right.
Surely they left today. I actually follow their beat writer on Twitter, but while we're on the air, I don't feel like looking it up.
No, it's all, I'm just curious.
Yeah, but so this year, they have to, okay, so after they play at Army, they go all the way back to Hawaii, they play Duquesne, and then they have to go at San Jose State, back to Hawaii, play Wyoming, back to the mainland, BYU, back to Hawaii, Nevada, back to California at Fresno, and then they get Utah State at home, bye week, UNLV at home, and then they go at San Diego State. So since they went to Colorado State August 25th, they've been home for 2 weeks, but so they will not be home that long again until they'll be home October 28th through November 22nd.
It's less than I thought it was, actually. Yeah. So Eastern time is 6 hours ahead of Hawaii. So if it's 7:30 p.m. in New York, it's 1:30 p.m. in Hawaii.
And so when it's noon, it'll be 6 a.m. So their body clocks, their body clocks are on 6 a.m. for this noon Eastern kick.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that hurricane didn't mess up Hawaii a few weeks back, did it?
I don't know. Everybody said it was going to. Right. I didn't really follow up.
What's going on with Florence right now? It's
getting close.
But didn't it dud out? Didn't it?
Supposedly it's reinvigorating.
Uh-oh.
I think it's going to hit hard, man.
Oh, I thought I saw earlier today it downgraded to a Category 2.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. They opened all the highway lanes, so like in any direction, you're just getting out.
Right. Okay. All right, let's go over some injuries. Lots of them.
We got a lot of injuries to talk about, folks.
Oh, no, you were on the right page there.
Here we go.
Okay, so I mentioned Oklahoma star Rodney Anderson out for the year. Second team, all Big 12 as a true freshman last year. 1,161 rushing yards, 13 touchdowns, 6.2 yards per carry. Also had 5 touchdown catches, 17 receptions, 281 yards last year. Out for the year. Big loss to the Sooners. Also, junior starting defensive tackle Marquise Overton is out in this revenge game at Iowa State. Minnesota's featured back Rodney Smith out for the year as well. PJ Fleck has said he's going to apply for a 6-year of eligibility and expects it to be granted. He's in good academic standing, all that. He had 977 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns last year. Mentioned Iowa State, Kyle Kemp, he's out this week and might be out for a little while. Zeb Nolan will get the start for the Cyclones. The big loser injury-wise last year was really, last week was Duke. Daniel Jones, ever since he set foot on campus, started 27 games in a row. So far this year, 29 of 39, 74.4% completion percentage, 389 passing yards, 4 touchdowns without a pick. He's a true junior. He's already got 5,916 passing yards, career passing yards, 34-20 TD INT ratio, 1,044 career rushing yards, and 15 touchdowns. He is out indefinitely. Clavicle injury, non-throwing shoulder, however, underwent surgery Sunday, but he's out a month or two. Tough luck for David Cutcliffe, although a lot of people are high on that backup quarterback. We'll see what he's got at Baylor this week. I think the odds makers may have overcompensated a touch, as Baylor is around a 6-point favorite. But that wasn't the only loss for Duke. Mark Gilbert, cornerback, season-ending hip surgery on Sunday. First team all ACC last year when he had 6 interceptions, 15 passes broken up, and 3 tackles for loss. He was a fourth team preseason All-American in Phil Steele's magazine, and Jeremy McDuffie, their stud safety, third team preseason all ACC after last year, 57 tackles, 9 passes broken up, 3 picks, 1 pick 6. QB hurry, a half a TFL, tackle for loss. He's questionable, McDuffie. And then one of their better receivers, Aaron Young, is also questionable. So Duke, very banged up, going to Waco. San Diego, senior quarterback, San Diego State. I'm talking too fast.
It's moving too quick.
I wasn't talking about the Toreros. That's San Diego University. I was talking about the Aztecs, San Diego State. Christian Chapman, 13-4 TDINT ratio last year. He is out 3 to 6 weeks with a sprained MCL. The unbeaten Herm Edwards traveled to San Diego State as a short favorite on Saturday. New Mexico quarterback, not even going to try to pronounce it. Not even going to try. Yeah, I'll try. Tavika Tuioti. He's out.
Me too.
Concussion. They play the New Mexico State Aggies, and Doug Martin's team, it's very convenient he got a contract extension last year, which he actually deserved, but God, they're horrible this year. They are missing my boy, Khalil Scott, right? I love that guy. That catch he had at Arizona State last year was so nasty. But he's out for the year for the Ravens. That sucks, because he's good. Oh, by the way, my Sony Michel, 30-1 Offensive Rookie of the Year. Didn't play last week. Questionable this week. I mean, I knew his knee was messed up, but he started practicing again in late August. And, I mean, I was saying bet it way before even the early August injury. All right, we got a lot of quarterbacks questionable. Illinois' A.J. Bush. Illinois also got some injuries at the receiver position. We mentioned Adrian Martinez from Nebraska. He's questionable against Troy in Lincoln. Cornhuskers are 11.5 at last look. Rutgers' Artur Sitkowski, the new franchise QB, true freshman, top recruit, arm injury. He's questionable. They're at Kansas. Tickets are available. But how about the Jayhawks snapping that 46-game road losing streak and giving out ass-beating treatment to the Chippewas of Central Michigan last week? Other quarterbacks questionable, Texas Tech's McLean Carter, USC's JT Daniels. But, hey, the freshman quarterback for Texas Tech played really good last week. And I think JT Daniels has been upgraded to probable. I mentioned the Fresno State offensive lineman, Natani Muti, third team preseason All-Mountain West and Steels Mag. Georgia Tech's best running back, Kervante Benson, gone for the season. And that's Western Kentucky's quarterback, Drew Echols. God, they're awful since they lost Brom. He's questionable as well. All right, let's clean out the notebook. Oh, by the way, I'm gonna be on Golic and Wingo tomorrow. I was last week at 9:05 a.m. Eastern, but that was just ESPN Radio. The good news is tomorrow I'll be on the TV portion at 7:30 a.m. The bad news is I live in the Central Time Zone, and that's 6:30 a.m., meaning I got to wake up
early.
5:30 a.m.? 5:30 a.m. That's okay. You know what?
You can do it.
Well, I woke up before 5:30 a.m. this morning, but I have not had a beer since Saturday. My only point, I'm not going to have a lot of beers tonight, but I am going to have a couple. I'm going to have a couple and watch the Ravens Bengals, and I'm going to go home around 11, and it'll be just fine.
Wake up at 5. You'll be good.
There it is. Beautiful. I have no problem. I'm not a morning person, but I have no problem getting up early. As long as I don't have to do it like 6 days a week.
There you go.
Like, I mean, how do Golic and how do they do that? I mean, I'm sure they have I know. I've been emailing the producer. Like, they have a production meeting. Like, he sent me something.
Like 4?
Yeah, I'm like, what? You know, what time does this meeting go down? 4 a.m.? I mean, what time are you in the shower? 3 a.m.?
Yeah, man.
I mean,
they're like pilots.
What the fudge is that, man? How do people live like that? I do not know.
Go to bed at 10:30, I guess.
Man, if you want to see some fascinating numbers, go look at Georgia Tech's box score, that 49-38 loss to USF last week. I mean, look at the box score and just how in the hell do you lose that game? All right, here's your updated futures via sportsbook.ag. Alabama plus 170 favorite to win the college football playoff. Clemson plus 450. Ohio State plus 650. Georgia 8-1. Auburn 12-1. Wisconsin 12-1, Notre Dame 15-1. Yeah, right. Oklahoma 15-1. Man, I was starting to get real bullish on Oklahoma, but the Anderson injury really hurts. But Oklahoma, they're good. And this just in, Lincoln Riley, legit. Okay, Washington 20-1, Michigan 30-1, Penn State 30-1, LSU 40-1, Stanford 40-1. There's your value play right there.
Boom.
Stanford, boom, 40-1. That's your value play. All righty. Let's see here. What else did I have? I kind of lean Arkansas, -7 at home in North Texas. If it goes, look, I mentioned Mason Fine and Seth Luttrell earlier. I respect those guys. But if Dre Greenlaw is questionable, as is Randy Ramsey, neither played at Colorado State last week. If I get a Dre Greenlaw's playing, probable, that might do it for me. Pulling the trigger. And Kylan Hill, the Mississippi State running back I was talking about, 17 carries, 211 yards, and 2 touchdowns at K-State last week. Fitzgerald, after being suspended for the first game, 19 totes, 159 rushing yards. Not very good passing. He's not a great passer, percentage-wise. 11 of 27, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 pick. Will Greer last week against Youngstown State, 21 of 26, 332 yards, 4-1 TD. INT ratio. Oh, here's my Samford FSU stats. Samford outyarded FSU 535 to 457. Why did I not write down the turnover margin? I do not know. Armani Rogers for UNLV, 3 touchdowns, no picks versus UTEP, 10 carries, 109 yards, 1 touchdown. Maryland was down at halftime to Bowling Green, but they scored 35 in a row in the second half. And they outyarded Bowling Green 565 to 158. Kasem Hill, I should say, pretty good. So I made Michigan 32. What did we say it was? 35 and a half?
Yes, sir.
I'm not going against you guys. Not going to do it. NFL games. I'll be adding some more NFL. We still don't even have a line for Minnesota at Green Bay because of Rodgers. Oh, I can't even talk about that Bears game. Oh, gosh. It was a rough week last week. I kind of lean the Browns. Saints are 9-16-1 against the spread in their last 26 as a home favorite. I'm just looking for some factoids. The Fins, short dog at the Jets, 9-16 as a road dog since 2014. Sam Darnold really looked the part last week, or Monday, I should say. Short week for the Jets. And by the way, everybody burying the Raiders, I don't know what fucking game y'all are watching. I mean, look, Derek Carr, I don't know what's wrong with him. I do not know. I do not claim to know what's wrong with him. But that Raiders went toe-to-toe with them for 3 quarters. And most people think the Rams are one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the league, certainly top 5. And I thought Gruden's play calling in the first half was masterful, especially for somebody who's been away for a decade. I thought his play calling was tremendous in the first half, and they went toe-to-toe in the third quarter. Carr just played like dog shit in the fourth, and I mean, turnovers eventually going to bite you, and the game just kind of got out of hand all of a sudden. But look, people criticize him for the Khalil Mack, you know, I get it, and Mack dominated against the Bears, at least the first half. But you know, if I'm a Las Vegas resident, I don't know. Khalil Mack might be the best defensive player in the league for a decade. But you do have 2 first-round picks, and you get them before you move to Vegas. So we shall see. I feel like there's other things. There's a UFC card. I don't like it. The Ezekiel choke, man. is facing Mark Hunt in the main event. It's early afternoon Saturday. Fight Pass only. Oh, gosh. Let me scroll the board real quick. Make sure I didn't... Ooh, Tulane's a road favorite to UAB. That's interesting. I need to check those injuries. As you know, West Virginia, NC State canceled. We mentioned UNC and UCF canceled. Good for the Fedoras. East Carolina Va Tech canceled. The Glass Bowl, noon Eastern kick. Toledo. They had the lead at Miami in the third quarter last year. Down south in the heat. The Glass Bowl. There have been many a Power 5 team come up there and not get out alive. Back in the Bruce Gradkowski days. Don't be shocked if Toledo hangs in there with the Canes. I'm not calling the upset, though. But, I will say, Toledo's got one of the best receiving groups in the country. If you like Syracuse, you better get it now. It looks like that number is going to be moving south of 3 soon. I mean, and Sitkowski, the quarterback for Rutgers, has been upgraded to probable. I mean, do you just fade Kansas on the money line because they're favored? I mean, hold on, let me go to my Kansas page. Let's see the last time Kansas was favored. Oh, wait, they were probably favored in week one when they lost the FCS. Yeah, they were favored by 9.5 to Nichols. Lost 26-23, but they beat the Chippewas 31-7 last week. Okay, so how many times have they been favored under Beatty? Okay, they're 2-4 against the spread in 6 games as a favorite. He's in the 4th year of his tenure. Oh, gosh. I'm interested to see how Vandy plays at Notre Dame. I'll be rooting for Vandy. I will not be betting on them. That's NBC at 2:30. You want another Group of Five versus Power Five upset alert? I mean, it's not much of an upset. It's 3.5-point favorite. That is the Wahoos against Frank Solich and the Bobcats. A lot of people think Ohio's got the best team in the MAC this year. Toledo might have something to say about that, as might Harbaugh's alma mater. I like that Eastern Michigan team. Been very, 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 very good to me. Oh my gosh, don't get me going on Sammy Sosa. I watched that interview. How fucking disturbing was that?
Oh man.
Oh boy, that was scary. We didn't even talk much LSU Auburn. That's the best game of the week. But Harbaugh's got a baby. And I want to go drink some beers because I can't drink them late because I got to be up early in the morning. I'm also on the Chris Vernon show tomorrow at, that's usually around 12:30 Central, give or take, sometimes 12:45.
Check it out.
Oh, we didn't get to Southern Cal at Texas either.
So many games.
Texas is favored. Wow. All right, go TCU, just on principalities. I'm not saying I'm betting TCU at all. Very interested to see Washington at Utah. Give me 2. Very interested to see how Arizona State handles the letdown scenario at a well-coached, Rocky Long, feisty San Diego State team, albeit one without its veteran quarterback. And Georgia moved up its game with Middle Tennessee to noon Eastern. Clemson did the same with Georgia Southern. Here's a good mid-major game. Arky State at Tulsa. Tulsa played Texas tough last week, only lost by 7. Because fucking Texas is horrible. Oh, basketball schools. All right, we talked a little NFL, more than normal. Because I'm going to be more on top of the NFL this year. Because I'm going to be on Golic and Wingo every Friday. Harbaugh, any parting shots? Any last words? I got a shout out to your little daughter, Marie Eva Rosenau.
You got it. Eva.
Eva.
There you go. You were close.
There we go. Follow me on Twitter at VegasBEdwards. Follow Harbaugh, SunsetPicturesCompany.com on Instagram.
All the things.
All the platforms. If you want to check out Jay Greason's picks, I read his column earlier. He agrees with me on Alabama and the Cuse, and I'll steal his line. Well, I use this line all the time, but I read it. We have the quarterback advantage. And DeAndre Francois is legit, but Eric Dungy's a better college quarterback. And we damn sure got the head coaching advantage. And we're at home, and we're getting a field goal. All right, Games Galore 49. Enjoy the sun, doggy, dogs. Over and out. Talk to you next week.
This is a Rush the Field quick fix on Radio Influence.
Saturday night, Chris, the big game at the big stadium, at Jerry's World. It's TCU hosting Ohio State. Now, this is the final game for Ohio State without Urban Meyer on the sidelines. What have you noticed from them in the first two games with interim head coach Ryan Day? Anything different from the way that you would have looked at them with Urban Meyer calling the shots?
No, they've so dominated their two opponents, Oregon State and Rutgers, just with their speed. What I notice is Dwayne Haskins just throwing the football over everybody, team speed. Right now, Alabama's great, Georgia's great, Ohio State's right up there with them in terms of how they looked on tape. Now, defensively, they've kind of let go of the rope a little bit. They haven't played as crisp later, but I don't know. That has been the case sometimes even with Urban. Here's where I think the difference is going to be going forward when Urban does come back is it's just going to be less stressful for everyone involved, meaning as a coaching staff. I think that Urban as a head coach can have more game control. It's a challenge when you have to divvy up game responsibilities on your staff. So you get a guy like a Greg Schiano. Yeah, he's been a head coach. But he's a defensive coordinator, and he's got that responsibility, and he's having to give more of that, and he's having to be a little bit more kind of quasi-head coach with Ryan. That kind of just stabilizes a little bit. So it's only going to get better, not that it hasn't been great, but it's going to get a little more seamless in the transition because they're going to – let's call it like it is. They're going to be in games where time management issues and decisions that are game-day decisions are going to become more of a factor. To this point, it's only a factor in the margin of victory with who they've played.
Rush the Field with Scott Seidenberg and Chris Landry can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.